The words of God given to us today are Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 9. Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 9. It is page 231 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider that garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Amen. One of the things people these days care about the most, particularly young people, is so-called spec. Spec is a shortened version of specification, which initially meant various functions of a machine or a system, but it is now used more to mean a list of qualifications that those who are looking for a job should have. A lot of people do everything they can to acquire even better so-called spec, and they smile with satisfaction when they obtain a spec which others do not have, or which looks better. It is said that there is so-called a set of six spec that people who are looking for a job must have. These are academic degrees, grades, TOEIC scores, internships, technical license, or other qualifications, and volunteer credentials. And sometimes one more is added, and it becomes a set of seven specs, and this additional one happens to be cosmetic surgery. But sometimes even these things are not considered enough, additional qualifications such as the experience of being an exchange student and winning different kinds of rewards are added. But specs cannot turn you into an upright person. Now, there is a book called Story Wins Over Specs. In the beginning of this book, there is a story about a 7-star hotel in Dubai and a hotel in Manila. The author went on a business trip to Dubai and went on a city tour for half a day. About 20 persons were riding on the bus, and these passengers were from all over the world. And for most of them, it was their first time in Dubai. The guide, with a bit of excitement in his voice, started a tour. What you see to your left now is the world's first magnetic levitation train. Now look to your 1 o'clock. Look to the 1 o'clock direction. What you see is the largest shopping mall in the world. The guide kept repeating the words, "the world's best, the world's largest, and the world's first," as they continued. The tourists wowed and anxiously tried to see as much as possible through the narrow windows of the bus. But as time passed, the tourists became desensitized to the phrase "the world's largest and the world's best." Finally, the Burj Al Arab Hotel, which is called itself and is called by others as being the only 7-star hotel in the world, came into view. The guide explained that the hotel was built with the world's best technical know-how and had the most opulence, but the passengers didn't show that much reaction. Because there can only be single best and a single largest, they're bound to change. Once, 63 building was the best building in our country, but it's been a while since his place was taken over by other buildings, and as time passes, his ranking is bound to go down. At Dubai, there is the world's tallest building and the tallest hotel. There is even an indoor ski slope built in the middle of a desert. But they're not what makes Dubai more like itself. According to recent news about economy, the global credit rating agencies are warning that Dubai's mega publicly owned companies are facing default of not being able to repay interest or principal of the loans that they borrowed. The author of the book, Story Wins Over Specs, went on a business trip to Manila a few months after he returned from Dubai. His lodging was at the Manila Hotel. He had never stayed there before, had never heard of it previously. He arrived and unpacked his bags and looked around, and he discovered a small bookmark. The bookmark had this saying written on it: "It's a good story." If it is like the Manila Hotel. Now, this phrase was an answer given by Hemingway when he was asked what made a good novel by journalists. Manila Hotel, which was built about 100 years ago, was a place where many famous people, including President Eisenhower of the United States, the Beatles, the movie actor John Wayne, and Robert Kennedy stayed. Although there are traces of damages from war here and there, and it has become worn over the years, but this hotel attracts travelers from all over the world because of the services and history that are unique to the hotel. The traditional Filipino interior and employees who wear traditional Filipino outfits create great stories only the hotel can provide, so that the guest comes to think, maybe I should write like Hemingway or read a book here. If Dubai's Burj Al Arab Hotel is the best and the largest hotel, Manila Hotel is a unique hotel. The best and the largest title will be lost as the time goes on. The technology and the capital of modern society always tries to make the taller thing the largest thing. But what is unique is not lost with time. Rather, the more time passes, this uniqueness comes to shine even more. And so the speck that pursues after what is the best and what is the largest cannot over the story that pursues after what is unique. Now, today's text is about a person who was once so proud of being a person of specs, became a story, a person of a story. Like most early churches, the Church of Philippi had a share of false teachers. They were followers of the law. They taught that in order to be saved, it was not enough just to believe in Christ, but it was necessary to add on the requirement of observing the law. Observing the law well was the best bet that a Jewish person was after. Therefore, Apostle Paul had to write many times to Philippi Church that observation of the law was a rightful duty of those who are saved, but It was not a condition for salvation. And verse 3 testifies about what the genuine party of circumcision should do as follows. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. People who live as people of true circumcision are to serve God by His Spirit. To serve means to worship and to serve God. Therefore, the best service that we can offer to God is to worship God in the right way. A service provided without self-denial, which is achieved through worship, soon becomes a way to prove oneself or to show off oneself. And people of true circumcision do not boast oneself or what is of the world, but only Jesus Christ. What I managed to achieve is not something to boast about, but the Lord who has given me, who sorely lacks ability. The occasion, the opportunity to achieve these things is what I am proud of. And so when we test and see whether I am boasting about myself or is boasting about the Lord, it's a touchstone of my faith. And people of true circumcision do not take confidence in the flesh. Now Paul received circumcision on the eighth day of his birth, and he belonged to the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee, and a person without fault when he came to righteousness under the law. Now all of these were something that people at the time thought of something to have confidence about. However, Paul did not put his confidence in any of them. Verses 4 to 9 of today's text are the same in terms of interpretation. They tell us well about what people who boast of Jesus Christ and who do not put confidence in themselves ought to do. Verse 4 testifies as follows, though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Now Paul, in order to show that the teachers of the law were teaching was not right, he confesses how he has thrown away the specs they thought of as being so important, that they wanted so much to have. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regards to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. First of all, Paul says that he received circumcision on the eighth day. Now, people of Israel remember that they are the people of covenant with God each time they see a rainbow, each time they keep the Sabbath, and each time they perform circumcision. If the fact that there is a covenant between God and people of Israel appears in physical space as a rainbow, and that the way that it appears in time is Sabbath, and the evidence that is shown in one's body is a circumcision. Now, a rainbow can only be seen when rain comes and sun shines thereafter, and the Sabbath comes only once every week. However, the circumcision remains as long as one is alive. Therefore, they consider circumcision as being very important. The circumcision was performed on the eighth day after the baby was born. Usually, it was performed in the morning, and even when that day happened to overlap with another religiously significant day, they did not put off circumcision. For example, even if the day overlapped with Sabbath, when which when you were forbade from working, circumcision was still performed. And for the Jews, 10th of July was a day of atonement. Even on that day, if that day was the 8th day after the baby was born, the circumcision was performed. But if the baby was sick, or if the baby was born prematurely, or there was thought to be some medical problems with performing circumcision, a circumcision was delayed. Now, in case circumcision was delayed, it could not be performed on the Sabbath or other religious holidays, and it could only be performed during regular weekdays. The night before circumcision, the families and relatives and neighbors held a celebration and shared fruits and drinks. Now, there was a custom in which parents of the baby would study the Bible all night. This was to protect the baby, who was to enter into a covenant relationship with God, from Satan. The night which was spent protecting the baby by studying the Bible was called the Night of Protection. The Jewish people thought of that night as the last night on which Satan could attack the baby, and only the words of God were capable of protecting the baby. But the circumcision on the eighth day started from the time of Isaac, but it could not be performed on children or parents who had converted to Judaism. Such circumcision could only be performed on children whose parents were Jewish to start with. And so Paul saying that I received circumcision on the eighth day meant that he was born to Jewish parents. Secondly, he says that he is of the people of Israel. This meant that not only were his parents Jewish by birth, but this was true for all of his forefathers. And this also means that Israel people are people with whom God entered into a covenant relationship. Now, if we were to speak of Paul in terms of our Joseon dynasty, which has social hierarchy, he belonged to the noblest of the noble class. And so he was a beneficiary of the covenant with God, who could enjoy all special privileges. Thirdly, he says that he is of the tribe of Benjamin. The tribe of Benjamin was numerically smallest of the 12 tribes, but it had a lot to be proud of. Benjamin was the second son of Rachel, who was beloved by Jacob, who later became Israel, the name of the country of Jewish people, and the 12th and the last son of Jacob. Jacob worked 7 years in order to marry Rachel, and he loved Rachel so much that the 7 years felt like several days. And further, because Rachel died right after she gave birth to Benjamin, he had a special heart for Benjamin. In particular, during the 22 years that it took for Jacob to see Benjamin's brother Joseph again, who was dragged away to Egypt due to the plots of his brothers, all of Jacob's heart was centered on Benjamin. And Jacob's 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel, but only Benjamin was born in the promised land, Canaan. In every country there are many kings, but only one person can become the first king. In our country there were altogether 176 kings, spanning the time of three kingdoms, Goguryeo, Baekje, and Silla, Goryeo and Joseon dynasty. And among them, the first king is the king Dongmyeong of Goryeo. In Israel, there were 42 kings until Israel became captive to Babylon. Among them, the first king was Saul, and he was a Benjaminite. The most important land for Israel is probably Jerusalem. The reason is that the temple is there, and this Jerusalem is located on the land that belonged to the tribe of Benjamin. After Solomon's death, Israel became divided into two between south and north. In the south, only two tribes remained. And these two remaining tribes were the tribes of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. The covenant of God continued with the south and not with the north. Tribes that played a key role in reconstructing a new community after 70 years of captivity to Babylon were the tribes of Judah and the tribes of Benjamin. The Queen Esther, who went before the king to petition annulment of his decree to kill all the Jews, risking her life, and the Mordecai, who urged her to do so, when Israel people were faced with annihilation due to Haman's plot at the time of King Xerxes of Persia, were people of the tribes of Benjamin. The tribes of Benjamin play such important roles in the history of Israel, and from the fact that Paul's original name was Saul, probably tells us that Paul was proud of the fact that he was a person of the tribe of Benjamin. Fourthly, Paul says that he is a Hebrew of Hebrews. This means that he was a Hebrew born to Hebrew parents, but a bit more explanation is needed. The chapter 6 of the Acts tells us of the conflict between the Hebraic Jews and the Hellenic Jews over the issue of widows of Hellenic Jews being excluded from receiving aid from the church. Among the Jews who did not live in Israel but lived dispersed in the world were known as Jews of Diaspora, and most of them lived under the influence of Hellenic language and culture. As the time passed, they forgot their mother tongue, Hebrew, and used Hellenic language. Now, these people were called the Hellenic Jews. On the other hand, the Hebraic Jews were Jewish people who used Hebrew as their mother tongue and mostly lived in the land of Judah. The critical difference between the two was the language that they used. So even if they lived in a foreign country together, people who used Hellenic language made a Hellenic synagogue and worshipped in Hellenic language. On the other hand, the people who used Hebrew made a Hebraic synagogue and congregated there to worship and used Hebrew for worship. Now Paul grew up in Tarsus, which was southern Turkey, and on the surface he was completely a Hellenic Jew. But he grew up in a family. He grew up in a family and that used Hebrew. Now when Paul returned to Jerusalem after completing his third mission trip, Jews arrested him on the charge that he defiled the temple. And at the time, Paul asked the commander for a chance to defend himself and said the following, Acts chapter 22, verses 1 to 3. Brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense. When they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in the city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. Paul, in defending himself as to how he had changed from his way of life, in which he strictly observed the law, spoke in Hebrew. This was really shocking for the Jews. They hadn't I thought that someone from Tarsus could speak such fluent Hebrew. It was like a third or fourth generation Korean was born in the United States or in Europe speaking Korean very fluently. Hebraic Jews actually carried a sense of superiority against the Hellenic Jews. Jews divided the world into 10 circular worlds radiating out from Jerusalem. It was thought that the more far away one was from the holy tabernacle of the temple, the degree of purity lessened proportionally. Therefore, they thought that the people who lived among Gentiles in places far away from Jerusalem were not holy. The dream of Jewish people who lived in foreign lands was to make a lot of money, and then when they got old, live near the Jerusalem temple and be buried there. Therefore, there were a lot of Hellenic Jews in Jerusalem. So from this perspective, that Paul calls himself a Hebrew who grew up under Hebrew parents meant that he was a pure Jew who was not contaminated by the Hellenic culture. These four things were what Paul was born with. If we were to observe Paul from Judaic perspective only, he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. No, a gold spoon, a diamond spoon even. Now these four things, and the three things that we will share next week, namely being the Pharisees in terms of law, persecuting the church with zealousness, and being without fault in terms of observing the law, were something that every Jew envied. And so-called specs that every Jew would want to have. But Paul says that they're not something to brag about. Now Paul confesses what is most important to him in the first part of verses 7 to verse 8. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ. Before, the fact that he was circumcised on the eighth day, that he was of the tribe of Benjamin among the tribes of Israel, that he was born to a family of Hebrews, were something to be proud of. Because of this, he became a Pharisee and lived according to the law with zealousness. These were specs that other people did not have, but they became stumbling blocks to meeting Christ. And this is the same for us. It is really difficult for those who think that they lot more than others, who think they have lot more than others, who are in a higher position than others, to meet Christ personally. Because they think what they have in their hands are a lot, what they know, what they have, and their position prove who they are. But your name card, the name card of your spouse, the name card of your parent or your children cannot lead you in the right way. The Lord came to Paul, who lived thinking that specs were all there was. Before that, Jesus was an only unlearned son of a poor carpenter. A criminal who was executed on the cross while blaspheming the Judaic religion. He thought it was only right to arrest those who followed Jesus. But on his way to Damascus, the Lord met him. And so he opened his eyes to the truth. And he realized that he was Christ who gave eternal life by dying on the cross for his sins and sins of the entire humankind. And so if it were for Christ, nothing was good enough. Paul lost all privileges that he had in Judaism in following Christ, but he had no complaints. And he received countless persecutions. But Paul did not think of them as suffering, but a reward given to him by Christ. To Paul, my Lord Jesus Christ became a story. The title that the author wanted to give to the book I mentioned in the beginning, Story Wins Over Specs, was actually God's story wins over human specs. But because the publisher said that if you gave that title, the book would never sell. And so the publisher went ahead and deleted and edited out stories about the Bible or Christian elements of the book, and the title became Story Wins Over Specs. If spec is something that human beings make, the story is something that God makes for us. It is a story which says that God comes to human beings. The Moses had the best specs that Hebrew people could not have at the time. So, Stefan, in talking about Moses in his sermon, said that Moses learned all the wisdoms of Egyptians and were excellent in speaking and at what he did. If we were to speak in today's terms, Moses had gone to study abroad at Egypt, the best empire in the world, and not only received the degree there, but was able to speak their language like a native, and had the best information network as far as Egypt was concerned. But none of them made Moses into Moses. When Moses kept sheep for his wife's family at the wilderness of Midian for 40 years, God came to meet him. And it was God who came to meet him, was the one who turned Moses into Moses. When Daniel was young, he suffered the pain of his country's demise. Further, he was carried away as a captive to Babylon, who brought on the destruction of his country. And so, he was educated there and became the prime minister there. Daniel served at least 5 kings, and the country itself changed from Babylon to the Empire of Assyria, but he continued on as the prime minister, as before. Now, during the 5-year term of presidency of our country, prime minister and ministers changed several times, but even when kings changed, Daniel remained as the prime minister. And furthermore, in an enemy country, Daniel had specs that Jewish people at the time could not have, could not even dream about. Those who plotted against Daniel could not find any fault with them. And so, knowing his devotion to God, they cajoled the king to make a law which would throw anyone who asked anything from a god or a messenger of God during 30 days, other than from the king, into a lion's den and led him to put his seal on the decree. But Daniel, although he knew that the king had put his seal on the decree, went home, opened the window towards Jerusalem, and as he had always done, bowed down and prayed and thanked God 3 times a day. Daniel knew this very well, that he had become the prime minister in his enemy country, not because he had outstanding specs, but he had become so because God had come to him from the time of his teens to the old age, when he became over 80 years old. And why would this be true only for Moses and Daniel? The reason that the people who appear in the Bible became people befitting of God's children was not because they had some outstanding specs, but because God met them, starting with Abraham. This is true for Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and also David, Solomon, and Esther. And this is true for all of the disciples of Jesus. And what made you who you are today? Was it because you woke up an hour earlier and went to bed an hour later than others? Or is it because you inherited more than others? Or you are far smarter? It's not true, isn't it? Isn't it because of my Lord Jesus Christ, who always comes to us in the same way, leads us from the front, walks with us, keeping with our pace, and who supports us from the back? Even if we may not wish to acknowledge it, isn't it something that we more and more automatically come to recognize as the time passes? May this 1 week be the Lunar New Year, the 7 days, 168 hours in which we walk with my Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father God, our nature is such that we continually want more specs, more outstanding specs, or bigger specs. And we think that the more better ones we have, they will make us look good and be superior over others in the world. But even if we're not for Paul's confessions, we ourselves know very well that wealth, fame, learning, and talents, when I have them, that they interfere with correctly knowing the Lord, who has come to me and living in my life, being conscious of it. Allow us now to become mature children of God, who can discard such foolish thoughts, and who that put their hope in the reward that God will give, more so than the reward from the world. And so may the story of the how the Lord has come to us become the history of our faith. And there are many members of our church who are traveling to see the families over the Lunar New Year. And we pray that the God coming to our members in their worship with their families, the God stories, may come true. And that the members of their families who have not yet accepted the Lord and who cause heartaches because of it, as our members pray for such members of the family, will be heard by you. And I pray in the name of Jesus, amen.